This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Earlier this week, Senator Shelley Moore Capito, along with other congressional representatives, introduced legislation that would reauthorize the Appalachian Regional Commission. The announcement comes on the heels of a report evaluating the progress of the commission after 50 years. Jessica Lilly recently spoke with co-chair of the ARC, Earl Gohl, to talk more about the success and challenges of the past 50 years and the work that's left to do.
The Appalachian Regional Commission was created as part of the War on Poverty, declared by Lyndon B. Johnson in Appalachia in 1964. Here's President Johnson in 1965 as he was signing the Appalachian Regional Development Act.
This measure today may well outlive many others in its lasting contribution to the well-being of our nation.
The 1960s were a time in America's history when Appalachia's region was facing economic hardships, partly because the machines were starting to do the work of coal miners. In his speech, President Johnson recognized the importance of Appalachian resources for the nation's economy.
In our history, no region has contributed more to the shaping of our destiny. The Appalachian ranges were the first challenge and the first test to the settlers of this seaboard. Through the Cumberland Gap, Americans found their way to the promise and the plenty of a continent that is united. Yet the nearly 17 million Appalachian residents lag far behind in their participation in our prosperity.
Co-chair of the Appalachian Regional Commission, Earl Gohl, says while some things have changed, some parts of the region continue to deal with the same issues.
My Appalachia is different from other people's Appalachia. Why did some communities do well while other communities did not?
Well, you know, it doesn't really matter where you are, whether it's Appalachia or if it's someplace else in the world. Economies that are reliant on single industry rise and fall in the single industry. Communities that are able to diversify and to really broaden their economic base and their employment base, those are the communities who do pretty well. And part of the challenge within Appalachia is being able to break through that and to really broaden and expand what the economy does and who all it employs and types of skills it wants. And it helps push the levels of education up a little bit further than what they otherwise would be. That's the challenge. I mean, I think if you look at communities who have broken out and have expanded their base of economics, those are the communities who have really done better than other places. I think that is really the fundamental difference that we confront oftentimes.
When you say it's dependent on one industry, is, I think in Appalachia, are you referring to one energy industry and being dependent on coal?
Well, right now it's coal, but there's a whole history in Appalachia. I mean, one time it was salt. Another time it was lumber. You know, extraction poses challenges to communities. It's an incredible resource. It's going to be an important part of Appalachia for a very long time. There's no question about that. And the challenge that we have is, the ARC is not engaged with the coal industry, and we don't regulate anybody. We don't take positions on a variety of issues. I mean, our job is to work with communities and strengthen their economies. So our focus and our mission is a workforce that's educated, capital that's invested, and opportunities they're taking advantage of.
Since the Appalachian Regional Commission has made such good progress, like we've talked about before, the past 50 years, do you fear that Congress might eliminate funding for the ARC?
Well, you know, first of all, the progress that's been made has been made by folks who live in Appalachia. We've had really the honor and the privilege of working with them and supporting them, but the strength of the economy, the work that's been done is work that they've done and that they've accomplished. And we're, you know, really happy to be here on the sidelines, you know, helping to foot the bill, but it's their successes. I would also say that the commission is really seen by folks who live in Appalachia as theirs. And my sense is that as long as the commission is responsive to the challenges of the region, and as long as folks who believe the commission is theirs, and they keep this conversation going, that issue will take care of itself. But this really is something that when you go into Appalachian communities, you learn very quickly whose commission it is. It's not up here, it's not ours in Washington. It is folks who live in communities throughout those states.
That was Earl Gold, co-chair of the Appalachian Regional Commission. The legislation would authorize $100 million annually over the next 5 years, including $10 million a year to improve rural broadband services. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jessica Lilly.
And you can hear more of this interview on next week's episode of Inside Appalachia. Roxy Todd contributed to this report. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:50. Cloudy skies today, rain or snow. Temperatures reaching the 40s. A chance of snow overnight with lows in the teens and 20s. There's a chance of morning snow Saturday, becoming partly sunny. Highs in the 30s and 40s. Clear Saturday night. Sunshine on Sunday with highs in the 40s and 50s. Guitarist Ryan Kennedy, a member of both the Bob Thompson Unit and the Mountain Stage Band, has released his first solo CD. His CD release party is tonight in Charleston. Jim Lang has this report.
When Ryan Kennedy picks up a guitar, people pay attention. Kennedy has released his first CD, called Something to Say, a collection of 9 original compositions. His reasons for making the CD are clear.
I just wanted to do one of my own. It was time. I've done, you know, over the years, a lot of other people's CDs, you know, but my focus when I was at Berkeley was actually jazz composition, so and I need to have something of my own.
But he did not want his debut release to be an album of standards.
What was most important to me was that it was representative of my writing. I mean, obviously the playing is important, but I didn't want it to be so much of a standard bebop format where we just play, you know, a 30-second long statement of the melody and then the whole thing is devoted to nothing but solos.
Kennedy comes from a musical family. Both his parents were band directors. But at a very early age, he realized that marching band was not for him.
But I remember when I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I'd seen how stressful marching band could be for them. My mother would come home in tears sometimes just because, you know, screaming and yelling about how our kids were acting up at the school. And so I associated all these horrible things with what my mother and father did. So I wanted no part of marching band when I was very young. And I think they were a little surprised when I chose the guitar.
After everything was recorded, Ryan sought the opinion of noted jazz musician and mentor, Bob Thompson, who inadvertently came up with the CD's title.
I played some tracks for him on the way to a gig one day just to ask his opinion. As much as I admire the man, I want his honest opinion. I'm not fishing for compliments from him. It was enlightening talking to Bob. And the first thing out of his mouth when he heard it was that I definitely had something to say. So that's where the title came from.
Is there a favorite track on here for you?
If I have to pick a favorite, it's probably The Mermaid. That's only because I put so much time into it. I like the way that it unfolds. I kind of noticed that it lined up thematically nicely with a William Butler Yeats poem that I'd read called The Mermaid. But it's a very dark poem, actually. It's a little bit different take on the mermaid than what we're probably used to. But I felt that that kind of lined up nicely with the tone of the piece. So it was named after the fact.
I mean, what does music mean to you? Can that be articulated?
What it means to me, it means everything.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jim Lang in Charleston.
The Ryan Kennedy Trio will be performing at his CD release party tonight at Black Sheep Burrito and Brews in Charleston starting at 8 o'clock. Well, Ryan Kennedy is a member of the Mountain Stage Band. Here's our Mountain Stage Song of the Week featuring Clay County native David Morris performing You've Been a Friend to Me.
My barb of life was sailing down life's troubled sea of time. When first I saw your smiling face, youth was in its prime. And I'll never forget wherever I roam, wherever you may be. If ever I have had a friend, that friend to me. His fortune nursed me as a child. He loved me fondly too. I would have had a broken heart had it not been for you. I'll never
David Morris with You've Been a Friend to Me. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at WV Public News and find us on Facebook. We welcome your comments. You can send them to feedback at wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, Liz McCormick, and Jesse Wright. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our director is Teresa Wills. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Beth Voorhees.